Hey, we're ready to get started here. Our next guest is here in the studio live, Ed Tsoukas. And as I said earlier, I'm going to indulge myself and tell the story again. Ed is the only vegan you want to talk to. This phrase came from Paula Poundstone on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a show I enjoy immensely. And I forget how it came up, but they were talking, and she said, I like vegans. Really, really, I do. And you can imagine the earnestness in Paula Poundstone's voice. I like them. I just don't want to talk to them.
They talk too much about the diet?
I suppose she finds them yet judgmental or, whatever. Anyway, Ed is not judgmental. Ed is a really positive force for what he calls a plant-based diet. Okay, I believe he'll correct me. He even discards the word vegan. I met Ed through our local Toastmasters Club, which is based in Hudson, Taconic Toastmasters. We meet the first and third Wednesdays at 5:30 sharp in the Chamber of Commerce office, and we meet to improve our public speaking. And so Ed would talk to us about the plant-based diet, and he always had these wonderful handouts, and you would think, I can do this. I'm not yet doing it, but anyway, let's talk to Ed.
Yeah, Ed, why should
take
we
it away
it?
How did you start? What was the change? What happened?
Well, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, when I lived in New York City and worked in the corporate world, I worked crazy hours and didn't leave a very healthy lifestyle, like many of us did back in those days, or if you are still in that lifestyle. And when I hit 50, started going to the doctor on an annual basis for your checkup, and year after year, he was starting to warn me about my health and my cholesterol, naturally my weight. And finally, one year, he reached a point where he threatened to put me on statins if I didn't get my cholesterol down.
Uh-huh.
Now, all the time, he'd been telling me about cutting out fried foods and cutting out red meat and cutting out all those things that I'd already cut out. If I had them once in a while, a cheat here and there, it wasn't a big deal. But
right. They
were no longer a part of my lifestyle. Yet, I couldn't affect my cholesterol
you
ratings.
You couldn't, yeah.
So I didn't take that advice very well, and I certainly wanted to do something about it. It was time to lose some weight. And so I looked into the idea of becoming vegetarian at first.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I did that. And I found I was eating a lot of dairy, a lot of cheese. It's really hard to let go of cheese. If you talk to anybody that actually converted completely to a vegan diet,
mm-hmm.
the hardest
cheese
thing to
let
go of is cheese.
Interesting.
It's addictive. And there are actually studies done that the
mm-hmm.
composition of cheese actually has an addictive formula to
no
it.
No kidding.
That's
oh
a discussion
goodness.
For another day.
Right, another
sure.
show.
But cows eat grass, so you don't consider cheese to be plant-based because of that?
Well, no. It's the product of an animal, although they do eat plants themselves.
So
the, the idea about dairy or consuming dairy mm-hmm. from another species is the problem.
I see.
The idea or so a calf is born, I don't know, a couple of 100 pounds, and they feed on their mother's milk to grow into what, a 1,000 pound, 2,000 pound animal? That's calf or cow growing formula. It's not necessarily meant for humans or our species to be consuming. But we found a way to start doing it whenever we did. I don't know the history on that, although I did look into it. And it became a way of life. And so when you talk about changing what is historically been the way we eat across the world, although there are many societies that don't necessarily practice or eat the Western diet, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a SAD acronym for the American diet. It's called SAD, the Standard American Diet.
Uh-huh.
They could have picked a better acronym than that, but it certainly tells something.
Yeah, I believe the Chinese don't eat dairy.
They don't, although they're starting, as their prosperity grows, mm-hmm. they're starting to acclimate or move towards the Western diet. Mm-hmm. You see McDonald's and other chains over mm-hmm. there in China now, mm-hmm. and they are beginning to suffer from the kind of maladies that we've been suffering here for the past 20, 30 or more years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with changing from what was a purely healthy, mostly plant-based diet
mm-hmm.
to one that's more similar to the American diet. So I found that I couldn't stay on the vegetarian diet because of the cheese. And so I said,
oh.
You know what? I'm going to go all the way. Mm-hmm. Let's see what it's like to be vegan. Mm-hmm. I needed to do something. I needed life-changing strategy that mm-hmm. would help me not have to go on statins and for me to become mm-hmm. healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
And
so about how long ago did you...
So that was about 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
This all took place about 8 years ago. And mm-hmm. 7 years ago, I actually made that conversion mm-hmm. and I dove into the research and I... use my friend, my Google friend. It's amazing how much information you can find out there. Now, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You should always
right.
check where the sources are coming mm-hmm. from. But there's a ton of information out there if you're interested in the topic, including recipes and ways in which you can replace foods that have a certain mouthfeel that mm-hmm. are familiar to you. Just
uh-huh.
because you go on a plant-based diet, it doesn't mean you have to eat grass.
I could still eat popcorn. That's the most important thing to me.
Good.
And what I'm happy about is I can still have beer.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So part of the research was a book that I read called The China Study.
Uh-huh.
Written by Dr. T. Colin Campbell.
Uh-huh.
He's actually from Cornell University, and he and another Dr. Esselton, who...
Oh, I remember Dr. Esselton. He was from Clawbrook.
They're both actually from upstate New York,
yes.
who grew up on farms. One mm-hmm. was, I believe their family was a dairy farm,
mm-hmm.
and the other perhaps livestock for other productions.
Mm-hmm.
And they both, through separate but parallel evolutions in their careers,
mm-hmm.
came to a point where they discovered that why we're so sick in America is because of the way we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that it actually is possible to change your health based on what you consume. Hippocrates, I'm forgetting my Greek philosophers here. Hippocrates, the Hippocratic Oath the doctors
right.
take when they
mm-hmm.
leave medical school, he's the one that said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And it's as true as can be.
Hmm.
It took me about a year. I read that book and it changed my life. I should tell you a little bit about the book. It describes one of the largest studies ever done to date of... because it had so many participants in the study. We're talking about regions all across China where they actually took the information you collect when you do studies such as these and were actually able to figure out that because of the way that their diet started to change over time because of the prosperity that they were beginning to enjoy, they started to gain or get sick the way that we do here in the United States. They started to develop disease like diabetes 2 and heart disease and obesity and things of those natures that were non-existent in those regions up until this time.
Uh-huh.
And so it went even further into, unfortunately, lab testing with rats where... they were actually able to make positive proof of the changes in the health of the animal based on their levels of for example, casein protein, which is the protein in dairy, mm-hmm. what you get in cheese, just by increasing or decreasing the level of casein in their bloodstream would actually affect their propensity to get cancer or to not get cancer. Now, it's not all cancer that we're talking about, certain kinds of cancer. Mm-hmm. And after a year of just diving into this whole philosophy, and I'm the cook. I am mm-hmm. a cook. I won't call myself a chef because I haven't actually gone to school, but I've been cooking for years. And so it was an interesting experiment to learn how to cook differently than I had normally done before. Mm-hmm. Just easy to flip a burger on the grill or something like that. And I found that it's actually possible to make good, delicious, hearty, filling food and not eat any animal product. And mm-hmm. by the time that year had passed and I had gone to my doctor again for that next annual visit, I can tell you that I'm living proof mm-hmm. that you can change your health based on your diet. My cholesterol level was flat. Everything on my blood tests ever since, every year, have been completely flat. Mm-hmm. I leave the doctor's office with a big gold star, and they don't really know what I'm doing until recently when I started going to a doctor upstate in Albany who actually believes in the plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. They don't teach diet in medical school.
No, mm-hmm.
Which
don't.
Is it's kind amazing. Of an odd thing.
Yeah.
So my point is that I am, of course, I'm saying it again, living proof that it's possible to actually be healthier just by eliminating animal product from your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible to actually eat delicious, filling, and easily available food if you're willing to put the effort in.
How do you satisfy your craving for cheese, since you like cheese so much? I had cottage cheese this morning with a peach. It was delicious. I'm going to have a very hard time giving up cheese, I think.
I don't eat cheese. It's no trouble.
Really?
I don't.
Is that
it.
Right?
Yeah. I'm lactose intolerant. I just don't eat it. It's not good for you anyway.
See, well, I may be lactose intolerant. Yeah. I'm not sure.
It just gives you cellulite cheese.
There are those who would claim the fact that we have lactose intolerance in our society is proof yet again that dairy is not really meant for us, mm-hmm. at least dairy from another species.
Uh-huh. When I was a child, I hated milk. Mm. They tried so hard to get me to drink milk. And I've never been a great milk drinker. Unless there are Oreo cookies around, then you need milk. There are times when you need it.
Anyway, one thing I like about Ed's attitude toward the plant-based diet is that, unlike other vegans that I know, he doesn't tell you everything you can't eat. He tells you what you can eat.
Mm.
So, Ed, take a sip of water and then tell us what we can eat. I've got some of your handouts right here if you ever need help.
The interesting thing about that question mm-hmm. is the question that I get from most people who, when they learn or they say, oh, you're a vegan, mm-hmm. is where do you get your protein from?
Right.
Well,
let's talk about
that. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right. Do you know that 100 calories of broccoli has more protein in it than 100 calories of beef?
Really? Mm. I did not know that.
Now, no, one doesn't know it.
100 calories of broccoli is probably a pretty big plate of broccoli. And
yeah.
You may not want to consume that much broccoli. But the fact is, we only need about 50 grams of protein a day.
Okay.
And one of the problems with the SAD, the standard American diet, is that we're overdoing the protein.
Right.
Why? Because marketing is selling us protein.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sell broccoli. They don't sell lettuce. They don't sell kale on TV. Do you see commercials for that? No. You see commercials for burgers and beef and chicken and fish. And these are the biggest industries or the sectors of the food industry, which are huge in the marketing and advertising dollars that they have and spend, as well as the lobbying efforts and controls that they have over even the ADA or the FDA actually publicly coming out and saying that, hey guys, it actually is better for you not to eat so much meat, because that would hurt their industry.
Well, it would, yes. That would be a big change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you aim to do this 50 grams a day, or do you, is it not as deliberate as that?
In the beginning, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to be sure I was not going to go down the path of destruction and become a skinny rail that no one could help if I got too sick or something like that. And the fact is, it never happened. It never even came close. So I spent some time understanding where there is protein. And I, like you or like anyone else, just pay attention to having a good mixed, healthy, fulfilling diet each week. So if I don't eat a whole lot of protein on Monday, I'm sure I'm going to get some more on Tuesday.
Right.
And it's not going to affect my health over the long term.
Beans,
legumes, peas. Mm. Peas are delicious, and they actually provide lots of protein.
Mm.
Then there's the soy products, the tofu, the tempeh. I've actually discovered later in my research, tofu seemed to be so obvious, but tempeh, if you're not familiar with it, is a fermented version of the whole soybean, and it actually takes much less processing than tofu does. Not that tofu is overly processed, but they press it together into a cake, and you can actually buy it in any one of the grocery stores around here, and you'd be surprised what you can do with tempeh to make it actually a delicious, protein-rich, and nutrient-rich meal, or at least part of the meal.
They're now claiming that certain spices or herbs have, good qualities for your diet. Cinnamon being one of them.
Cinnamon. Turmeric.
That's what I thought you were going to say, was turmeric recommended.
Along the way, I learned how to use spices even more than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just garlic powder and salt and pepper. There's actually more out there. And that's what actually helps create delicious meals. If you live on a fast food diet, a plant-based diet isn't going to work for you. But a fast food diet isn't actually going to be sustainable in the long run, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to want to give it a try. You're not going to go into it with both arms open if you're already in a resisting state. And I'm not saying that's the qualification for it. It's just a recognition of the fact that the way we're eating now as a society is just not going to sustain us and the planet much longer, which ended up becoming another premise for my desire to stay on a plant-based diet. And that's the amount of effort and resources, natural resources, it takes to grow, to raise the livestock that we raise in order to convert it into a burger.
Yes, that's true. So actually tell us you're taking your plant-based diet and going on the road to Newburgh on Saturday.
That's correct. I am taking a step into the world of perhaps creating product that is a little bit on the side of quick or a fast food.
Oh, yeah?
Being that it's prepared already and put it in a to-go container, a grab-and-go type container, and make it a saleable product that people will actually enjoy. They don't know or necessarily care what it is, but if it tastes good and it's affordable, and by the way, it happens to be good for you and healthy, why not? So there is the second annual Hudson Valley Vegan Food Festival being held in Newburgh this Saturday. Being around that sort of thing, I ended up being a volunteer at the first annual one last year.
Oh, good.
So that's how I happened to know about
it. I see. And was it successful last year?
It was. It was great.
Good.
It was the first time for the event and the organizers. And I know just by what I see of what they're doing now, the production of getting the event ready and how they're bringing the sponsors in and the vendors in and the promotion they're doing now, they've learned a whole lot from the last experience.
Right.
So it looks like it's going to be even bigger and better than last year.
What are the hours, just in case someone wants to go to Newburgh?
1 to 7.
1 to 7.
Right.
Okay.
It's about an hour's drive from here. For sure.
And you're going to be selling a product or trying a product out?
It's the first time I'm going to actually present a product to the public that I've been making for a while. I've actually been developing it and improving it for about a year or so. It's a tempeh salad that I didn't intentionally want it to, but sort of tastes like a chicken salad.
Right. Oh, is this your famous grandma's chicken
salad?
No,
this is not your grandma's chicken salad.
This is not your grandma's chicken salad.
Yeah. That's right. This is not your grandma's chicken salad because it's not, but it does kind of taste like chicken salad.
It's delicious. I've had it. It's absolutely delicious.
Great. Yes. I'm glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm. What does it have besides tempeh?
So the tempeh gets marinated in a tamari and brown rice vinegar mixture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my mouth is watering already.
I can do that.
Then it
gets
roasted.
I can't do
almost
that.
Crispy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then it gets mixed up with a number of different spices, including poultry seasoning. Of course, there's no poultry in it.
Right.
It's just the various
and
ingredients.
And there's no poultry in poultry seasoning.
No, it's just the ingredients. Actually, if you break it down to see what's inside of poultry seasoning, it's a collection of other seasons that you could also get off the shelf. They just make it easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
That and a couple of other seasonings and vegan mayonnaise.
Aha.
So there is a vegan alternative to mayonnaise. Because
do you make the mayonnaise, Ed, or do you buy it?
Oh, I do not. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I buy
a
ready-made product on the shelf called Veganaise.
Veganaise.
And what is it made of?
Everything but eggs.
Well, there's of course, no eggs, no dairy, and there are a number of different varieties that this company produces. And so depending on which one is available at the time or who my audience is, I may choose one or the other.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they have different ingredients, but they use... one that I'm thinking of, the main ingredient is escaping me at the moment, but it's actually a seed oil.
Uh-huh.
The seed is escaping me at the moment. It'll
right, but it's an
moment.
Oil. Yeah.
It's white in a jar, just like mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
And you mix it up with your product, and it looks like a mayonnaise-y type product. But eventually, in this tempeh salad, it sort of soaks it up and becomes a darker texture. And so it looks really good on a plate, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Very nice.
You don't eat eggs, so what do you eat
eggs.
For breakfast? I'm curious to know.
When I'm ambitious for something like brunch, I have a pretty well-liked tofu scramble that I make, which one of the restaurants that I miss here in Hudson that left us, I guess, earlier this year or last year, the... Good Earth Restaurant.
Oh, the Good Earth Restaurant.
Yeah.
I bet they had a tofu scramble.
They sure did.
Oh, I bet
where
it was good.
Where was Good Earth?
In
oh,
the spot,
you know Good Earth.
The spot where there is now a pizza
the new pizza place.
Right. Oh.
Across from Main Street.
Oh, oh.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Very well liked.
Yeah, been very, there for years.
Very sorely missed, but a lot. It was a good place to go.
It was good.
Get a good homey meal, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be my breakfast.
Tofu scramble.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you said if you have time, you would do a tofu scramble.
Well, sure. It takes a little effort.
What if you're in a hurry?
Oh, like anything else, I might have toast, like others
right,
do, but I won't
toast.
Put butter on it.
No,
I'll spread some hummus on it or
hummus
something.
Hummus or
like
almond
that.
Butter. Yeah.
Almond butter's good, too.
Yeah.
It depends on what your palate's looking for at the time. Do you want something sweet or something savory?
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, can you drink soy milk? Is that allowed or not so much?
By whom?
Well, is it a vegan product?
Nobody's standing over you.
Soy milk is a vegan product. Yes.
Okay, so you could have cereal and soy milk.
Right. Yeah. But the almond or alternative milk industry is growing like crazy.
Sure
I don't know
is.
If you've noticed.
I have.
And it's actually starting to affect the sales of standard dairy milk, which the dairy farmers are not too happy about.
No, I bet they're not.
People are looking for alternatives, and you have to go where the demand goes. There's actually a very old dairy in Queens, New York, that actually just shut down. Well-known dairy. I don't want to say it's Elmhurst. I might be wrong there, but you might recognize that name.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
They completely converted their operation to alternative milk products.
Interesting.
They cut out all dairy milk.
Wow.
As their product line. And they're successfully moving forward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, nuts have lots of protein too, don't they?
Nuts certainly do. Now, here's an example. You can take either almonds or cashews and prepare them in such a way where you can end up with something that's similar to a Parmesan cheese and spread it, sprinkle it over your pasta and sauce.
Huh. Well... Interesting.
I'm starting to salivate. Just
I know. I'm getting hungry. It's,
me too.
It's the end of the afternoon. Whew. Okay.
Well,
we've got plenty of time.
So,
yes.
If I were to become a vegan, I would probably cut yogurt out of my diet.
Yeah, you can't have yogurt.
Is there anything in yogurt that you're particularly looking for except the flavor that you're familiar with? Do you consciously think of yogurt as something that
is good for you?
Right.
Vitamin
yes,
D?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, vitamin D, I suppose. And it's supposed to be good. Probiotic is
that's
the
true.
Word that,
that's true.
That I've heard a lot lately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, believe it or not, there are vegan yogurt alternatives on the market.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right now, I see them being made by those who are making the alternative milks, but I think there are some other producers out there as well. And they're sensitive to the concept of the probiotic requirement or what the standard yogurt offers. And so their formula for whatever it is that they're doing to create this yogurt process includes probiotics.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And so they're paying attention to the fact that it can't just be an alternative. It has to also offer some nutritional benefits that people are expecting to get out of it. But mostly for most people, I think it's the taste. I think it's the flavor.
Really?
I think it's the familiarity that we've had with these food products all our lives. We were brought up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even doctors Caldwell and Dr. Esselton will tell you that growing up on dairy farms or you know, how they did in years ago, I think they're in their 80s at this point.
Yeah.
It was a transition that was tough to make by any standards, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's not impossible at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Ed, you know, Ed and I have also have a mutual friend, Lee, who went on... who tried to transition to being a vegan. And she went off the vegan diet, lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. And so I asked her, I said, it might be interesting to talk to Ed, you know, about your problems and see what he would suggest. So I said, so why did you go off it? She says, I went off it because I am lazy. I don't that's think you Lee. Can do right, isn't
not,
it?
Yeah. Not that she's lazy,
no,
but
not
that
at
she's
all,
honest.
But that's what
I
she's
have
very
that
honest.
Qualification.
Yeah, so do I. I don't think you can do a vegan diet if you don't want to invest some time in cooking and learning about foods. I initially enjoyed doing it, but I got tired of it. And she missed fish and chicken and eggs. Mm. She could not manage to give up eggs. So I did, and dairy. She did the diet and ate yogurt.
Down yeah, the whole list there.
Really, yeah. Uh-huh. She said, I think one has to go about it little by little, which seemed to me like a possible avenue that you do it gradually.
Sure. I think there's a lot to be said about the expectations of the standard vegans, if you will, and some of my vegan friends will be upset with me for saying this, but the possibility of us seeing the society as a whole convert to veganism in our lifetimes anyway, is pretty unrealistic.
It's pretty remote, Ed. Yeah. Yes, I would say that too.
But but I would like to think that, you know, whether you believe in creationism or evolutionary, the evolutionary process, mm-hmm. you have to believe, or at least I believe, that we're still, as human beings, evolving. Mm-hmm. And we will have to evolve in a way that facilitates our environment and Mother Earth to continue to exist.
Right, if we are to survive.
And we can't continue mm-hmm. to go the way we're going now. There just isn't enough land in the world mm-hmm. to grow enough cows for mm-hmm. the number of burgers that the people are going to want. So we have to think about alternative methods of eating, mm-hmm. alternative diets. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny, I usually, when I get introduced as a vegan, I usually say, well, I'm not really a vegan.
Oh.
I'm a person who eats a vegan diet.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, I'd rather just say I'm one who eats a plant-based diet.
Right. And why are you not a vegan?
Vegans, again, my vegan friends will probably not be happy with me for saying this, uh-huh. but as you might have said earlier, have a tendency to sort of tell everyone why and what they're doing wrong and how terrible it is for the animals.
Yes.
And certainly with all my research and everything that I've done, I care about animal welfare as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I care about human welfare before that.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a potential that we could be a healthier race of people without the medical costs and the medical industry influx that we provide them, as well as starting to do things that can turn the corner on saving the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think cutting back carbon emissions is going to be enough.
Uh-huh, I see.
And believe it or not, all the livestock that we grow creates such carbon emissions.
Yes.
Carbon dioxide emissions.
Right.
Or, I'm not even sure if I'm saying that correctly, but the truth is there's so much water being consumed.
Yes.
There's so much of the ozone or the I've lost my words here now. The emissions that
just,
are...
Yeah, the carbon emissions from a farm and a farm
right.
life.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to mention the mm-hmm. the waste mm-hmm. from these animals, it has to go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
which ends up in our streams and in our ponds and in our lakes and ultimately leaches into the ocean, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And all for the sake of producing food mm-hmm. to feed us. We spend more... We grow more grain and corn and other types of produce to feed the livestock than we actually consume ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All that corn you see around Columbia County is stock feed.
Another interesting thing I just read recently that I didn't actually know this, but California is one of the largest, if not the largest, livestock producer in the country.
Really?
And probably one of the more prominent sources for livestock or the products of livestock in the world because of their climate.
Mm-hmm.
They have a drought. They're constantly in a drought.
Right.
And one is just causing the problem of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they could find a way to cut down, you know, we're not all going to go vegan tomorrow, but if we can start to turn the corner on how much we need to feed the livestock rather than how much we need to feed ourselves, we might actually have some water left over for the rest of us.
Right, but then it all goes to almonds. I worry about almonds. You know, they take a lot of water.
Now, where did you read that? Is that something that the beef industry is saying
about
vegans?
I don't know. I can't cite the source, but it's a good question. I think it's commonly known, but you're right. What's the source?
The amount of water that goes to almonds doesn't even scrape the underbelly of the amount of water that's going towards livestock.
Yeah.
Or to produce, it's something crazy like 1,000 gallons of water to produce a hamburger.
Oh, dear.
You don't realize how much.
Wow.
The water that grows the plants, the water that is fed to the animals, the water that it's a large amount of water that require. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a hamburger, maybe it's a pound of beef or something like that, the study that I read.
A one-pounder.
But almonds, I mean, grow on a tree, I would assume.
Yeah, but they got to be watered. The tree's got to be watered.
Like other nuts.
Yes.
Right. Almond trees do take more water than, let's say, the other, another average tree.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a black walnut tree on my property.
Well.
Does it produce nuts?
A lot of them. Oh. It's so that you're afraid to walk under the tree certain times of the year. But they're very hard to deal with. Because they have a very hard shuck on the outside.
Yes.
And I think they used to use, and maybe still do, that shuck as a dye. Because your hands like turn black if you're dealing with these black walnuts. Yeah.
I should say we're talking to Ed Tsoukas.
Yes.
About a plant-based diet. This is Debbie Mayer.
I'm Ellen Thurston.
And this is the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC, ACRA 90.7 on your radio dial, or streaming 24/7 from WGXC.org.
That's right. You can listen to us any place.
Right. Anywhere, anytime.
Even outer space.
Yeah, we've got a few more minutes. You know, what I love is this list that Ed gave us at the Toastmasters meeting when he was talking about one of his early speeches addressed the question that people ask him all the time. Well, how do you get enough protein? So here's this amazing list from almonds to zucchini telling you what one cup of that item gives you in the way of protein. And you know, it's really interesting. And
is chocolate on that list?
Let's see.
Dark chocolate.
Cocoa powder. Is
Sure.
1 cup of cocoa powder. Holy cow, gives you 17 grams of protein. And if you remember, Ed said that we need about 50 grams a day. So, hey, you're almost there if you eat a lot of chocolate. You know, it's what else, Ellen?
Ice cream.
No. I don't think that's here because, anyway, it's generally dairy unless you get
beans,
sorbet.
Like
beans,
any kind of beans.
Oh, beans are just incredible.
Yeah.
Black beans.
Black beans.
One cup is 15.2 grams of protein.
Wow.
Yeah. And all the beans are here. Cannellini, which I really like, is 1 cup is 15.3 grams of protein. Hey, eat a cup of cantaloupe and you've got 1.4 grams of...
That's the point. If you eat a well-balanced diet of plant-based food, you're going to get enough protein that you need every day.
Chickpeas, 1 cup, 14.5 grams of protein.
What do you do for bread? I mean, does someone make vegan bread?
Most bread doesn't include anything that the
eggs. No.
No. You might find eggs in something like challah bread.
Right.
Or a holiday bread of some sort.
Right,
but the standard off the shelf, you know, there's an organic whole wheat or multi-grain bread that I happen to like over at Hannaford's that I get just about every week.
And it's
great,
fun.
Great
other people
toast.
Have told me about that bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Multi-grain?
Multi-grain.
Multi-grain
it's
bread.
The type. The the brand is escaping me at the moment.
That's okay. Ellen
should
go
look
for
it.
Yeah, we shouldn't say it on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what else, Ed? Now, my sister-in-law is a vegan, and she enjoys baking. And I am not a gourmet. I am at the other end of the spectrum. But I can tell you, when I eat one of her cakes, I think, this is missing an egg.
Is that right?
Yes.
You can tell the difference?
It's just not the same.
Okay. What do you use instead of an egg?
Nothing. She leaves the egg out.
Well,
banana?
That's right.
You
can use a number of different food types or food products to do what the egg does.
Is the egg there primarily as liquid?
It's there as a binding agent.
Yes. A binding agent. Yeah.
And it does provide a little flavor.
Debbie notices the flavor that is missing. And
maybe it's the texture that I notice
that's
different.
It could be the texture.
Yeah.
And so there are a number I've heard of bananas, applesauce, chia seeds.
Applesauce is good.
All sorts of things that can be used. I make pancakes using applesauce as the egg alternative.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be delicious.
They're good.
Yeah. Yes, I want to just take a little bit more from Lee here, because Ed helped Lee start the diet. He says, Ed is a wonderful teacher and has prepared a lot of good material. Working with him was a pleasure. So I think one of the nice things is that there is some community and one learns a lot. But it does take time, she says. Anyway, I just want you to know it wasn't Ed's fault that she left the diet. She was lazy, as I am. Can you suggest anything in particular for those who wish to try to adopt a plant-based diet who don't cook?
One of the things that I would recommend right now is when you go out to a restaurant, start asking for more plant-based or vegan alternatives. Locally here, it's a bit of a plant-based diet desert.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Well, if you will.
When you go to the farmer's market, though, the vegans are beginning to sneak in there.
Right. Right. But the restaurants. But
she's talking about the restaurants. Yeah. Yes, my experience of dining at a restaurant with a vegan is that everything stops while she talks to the waitress for at least 5 minutes, trying to figure out what she can eat.
Well, that's unfortunate. I don't ever want to be that person.
I know you don't.
I don't ever want to be the controlling force in deciding what restaurant we go to.
Yeah.
So I'll always take a minute, get on my old friend Google and get to that menu of the restaurant we're going to and try and figure out what it is that I can eat so that I don't spend 5 minutes with the waiter or waitress to figure out what it is I can order.
Yeah.
And quite often they are willing to maybe alter a dish that might be made with butter to convert it to be made with oil.
Butter in a vegan diet?
No. I don't eat butter either. I mean, really, Ed, I'm on my way. I think
look at you.
I could go to my grave not able to give up eggs, but butter and milk and cheese, I don't eat. The dairy component is taken care of.
It's probably the best thing you can do. Dairy is the hardest, but probably worst for you than than the actual meat, although certainly that has its dangers as
Right. I don't eat beef, you know, but I do eat chicken and fish.
I use a lot of olive oil. Can I cook an egg in oil rather than butter?
Well, sure. You can cook any. There are those who say eggs are delicious in olive oil.
Really?
Fry them
it
in olive oil.
It sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to try.
But I stopped cooking eggs a long time ago.
That's right. So you don't cook eggs. You don't know. Yeah.
Well, I'm just feigning ignorance, that's all.
What if I just started with a little vegan stuff and just, you know, I do eat less and less meat because I don't like cooking meat.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't.
Right.
I eat lots of vegetables, but it would be hard to just go vegan one day entirely.
Sure, it's a process. It's certainly a transition that you need to spend some time thinking about and investigating what easy meals, because that's what's why we're stuck in perhaps the sad standard American diet. It's because we formulated these easy meals, you know, three or four different, a primary meat or protein and two or three sides, and it's an easy meal to put together.
Yeah, it is.
Now we have to do something a little bit different. And so it doesn't hurt to, if you're good with, not even good with a computer, just good enough to get on and Google something. There's one website in particular that I go to quite a bit called One Green Planet.
I'm sorry, say it again.
One Green Planet.
Okay.
Thousands and thousands of recipes that are, anybody could be a contributor. And so, like anything else, you'll find some good recipes and some not so good. But a great resource for all sorts of recipes. But don't limit yourself to one website. As a matter of fact, just, if you have an idea for a particular meal or a particular food type that you're craving, type it into Google and add vegan recipe, and you would be surprised with the hits that you get back and the possibilities that you can come up with.
This is all making me very hungry.
Me too. And as I also promoted this show on Facebook, Ed, most recently, you probably didn't see it, but my neighbors gave me stuff from their garden because they're going away for a few days and everything is coming in now.
Okay.
So,
what'd
hey,
you get?
Oh, I got a whole bunch of kale. What should I do with it? He said, do you want kale? I said, yes, you're fine. But, you know, what's the easiest thing to do with kale?
Saute.
Yes.
Saute is easy.
Put it in the oven.
What I do with kale, instead of sautéing it in oil, because it actually, you don't, Dr. Esselton is actually even promoting an oil-free diet.
Really?
Oil is processed food. It's actually highly processed. So, and even if it's olive oil or extra virgin olive oil, it's still not really that good for you. Tastes great.
So do you use oil yourself?
I do. I haven't found a way to quit that.
I interviewed Dr. Esselstyn years ago when I worked for the Independent newspaper. Yes. I found him a little severe.
Well, someone has to lead the way. And, of course, they have to
be severe.
Set the example.
Exactly.
But what I will do, so kale is a very tough texture, right?
Yes,
it's not like making a spinach salad.
You
can either massage it, or what I'll do is boil water.
Yes.
And throw a bunch of kale into the water for just a couple of minutes in the boiling water,
and then throw the kale in, take it out,
and it's softened up. And then maybe in that hot pan, I'll just line it with a little bit of oil, not the whole bunch that I might have sautéed in.
Right.
And throw some seasoning in the oil, spin it around, and throw the kale back into the pan and just mix it about. And so you got the flavor. You didn't cook the oil. Heating the oil is actually the worst part about cooking with oil, especially olive oil, because it's not a high heat oil.
Right.
So you've got the flavor of the olive oil, the seasoning, and you've wilted the kale as well. So it actually is a great, easy way to make a different variation on sautéed kale.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Isn't there some method? It's like making ceviche where you marinate it in, I don't know what, lemon juice and salt help to break it down?
Right.
Would that help to break down?
I imagine it would. I haven't experimented in that area too much, but that's actually one of my next exercises, is to, as we approach the new winter, fall and winter season, is doing some jarring and canning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what I can actually keep in the fridge for a while and have during the winter.
Nice.
Great. This has been fun.
Yes. We've been talking to Ed Soukas about a plant-based diet. His, not ours.
I could be half a vegan or a little bit of a vegan. I guess that's not possible, is
My
it?
Point of view is that the more plant-based food you eat, the better off you are.
Yeah. So, well, I think that's probably...
If maybe we could convert to... what is it? Monday? Meatless Mondays?
Yeah, Meatless Monday.
What if we converted to Meat Mondays and didn't eat meat the rest of the week?
Right. You can eat meat on Monday.
That would have such a tremendous effect on everything that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. I sense a book coming on called Meat Monday.
I hope it's a cookbook. Ed, just tell us one more time about the food festival in Newburg.
Right. So I'm going to try my Not Your Grandma's Chicken Salad, a tempeh salad, out at the second annual Hudson Valley Vegan Food Festival in Newburgh, New York. It's about an hour's drive from here on Saturday the 12th.
This starts at
1 p.m. and goes till 7. So whether you're hungry for lunch or dinner, depending on where you are and you want to go for a ride, it's a nice event. It's not all vegan food, and there certainly aren't any hardcore vegans there trying to convince you to convert or anything like that. You don't have to show your vegan stamp at the door. I believe there's a $5 entrance fee. But all the food is very affordable and delicious. You'll really be surprised if you try some of these things.
I'm sure.
There are actually a couple of girls there that have a hot dog business.
Uh-huh.
Vegan hot dogs.
Yeah.
And you should see the lines for the people standing in
line. Vegan hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now, who was it who said, a food writer, I can't remember the name. Oh, Michael
Palin?
Pollard? He said, don't eat something that's supposed to be something else, like a vegan hot dog.
Right, right. But that's a fair statement. And if we could easily change our palates and that mouthfeel that we...
Yes, as you say, I agree. That mouthfeel is very important.
It's the hardest part.
Yes.
And so to want to have a cheese when you don't eat cheese... certainly not that easy to...
Yeah. And we're almost done here. Thank you, Ed.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been
Thank
most
you for having
interesting.
Me.
And good luck at this festival.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Have fun.
It's an experiment, and we'll learn from it no matter what happens.
Right.
Great.
Right, you will.